Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
real fast like a whip down a side street. Cops in pursuit and I'm sitting on a hot seat. I heard your heartbeat.
You got me going crazy, the way you move me, baby. The others just don't raise me.
I feel your heartbeat.
You got me going crazy, the way you move me, baby. The others just don't raise me.
I feel your heartbeat. I feel your heartbeat. I feel your heartbeat. I feel your heartbeat. I feel your heartbeat.
Bothered you have me, boy. Met you at the after party.
The rush, yeah, you can do your thing, and I'm kinda partial. Said, you know, it's Thirsty Thursday. Hot the full play, you said, no way. I said, okay, maybe later. I gotta spit my game by the elevator. Thump, thump, has them grabbing a hand, and I don't mind a girl with superior game.
You got me going crazy.
And a man ain't coming at you sleeping. I know that this here is special. Eye contact and the lick of the lips. I'm over the hips. Got me about to trip like the clumsiest kid. Hate game and a bang of the chest. Cardi don't rest. Till I finesse the drop of the dress. Let the niggas see it cause you know I'm the best.
Bothered you have me, boy. Met you at the after party. Nothing to do, nothing, boy. Call me when I leave the lobby.
I know that you feel me, girl. Met you at the after party. Cut up your tongue. For every door closed, the hate more, the stronger I come. You have to be a
take it easy, so end it one.
Come on, let's go, let another tech blow. I'm a legend, you ain't even on my level yet. Come on, let's go, bust away the next. Oh, I'm a legend, you ain't even on my level yet.
Go, say what you want. Corporate, we are. You're witnessing a legend in the making.
I'm not here to play games, I pay attention in depth. Because the ones that caught slipping get respected with death. I'm a legend cause I mention when they mention the best. I kill songs, I'm ill, I'm built strong. I'm above most these rappers, I'm standing with stilts on. They see me still here and they ask if he's still on. Without a question, he's a legend, the skills are still strong. Need a boot to make it better, I can better the booth. I better other soldiers in the field like medical troops. I better the youth, the proof, I could never be you. I see my future real clear like I'm ahead of the truth. I'm so dope, they get addicted to me. So I don't write rhymes, I have to go prescription or free. I keep it hot, every drop, by any means necessary. You might be good, but consider me legendary.
Go, say what you want. Corporate, we start. You're witnessing a legend in the making. Go, say what you want. Corporate, we start. You're witnessing a legend in the making.
Sonic Beast.
Telling me how to feel, I got a real body girl, so I'm done with the feel. Ex-jocks, but I still jock her. I ain't ashamed, I'm kinda proud, she's my doctor. She fixed my heart when I couldn't get a beat to start. Without her, I wouldn't have a beating heart. It's unexplainable, baby, take my words apart. I used to speak, but now I seem to hardly talk. Hushed tones, I'm staring at a work of art. Cause she the best, she the sun, she the sky, yeah. She the moon, she the star, she my energy. Here I'm never tired, cause baby, you the best in here. I put it on my mama, y'all all I ever need. A winning lotto number, and 50 feels of green. One of the prettiest things that I've ever seen. Someone tell me I'm dreaming, cause I don't wanna leave. Birthday cake, I wanna make a wish, make it last forever. I know the good times fade, prepare for stormy weather. You my guiding light, and yeah, you're with forever. I can't predict, don't wanna fight the feeling. Yeah, everything I ever missed, everything I'm needing. Vampire attack, and yo, I guess I'm bleeding. I give her all for you, baby girl, there's no retreating. I'm on the front line, I'ma hold it down. Cause I'm the dude that wouldn't ever let you down. And if I ever did, I would apologize. Cause you know I'm not the mother guy.
Good evening, it's Shelly Nunchucks on the Shelly Nunchucks Show with a little furball co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty. Yay! And tomorrow's my Friday, thank goodness, and we're all over that hump. Yes, 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 yes. And believe it or not, my little ninja kitty's all curled up waiting for me to go to bed, looking at me going, when you going night-night? So here I am, get more guests on my show. And before I bring, I believe my guest is in the queue, and I've been playing some of his songs, who this person owes me a show, who finally should be on my show tonight. And I'll bring him in momentarily. But to let you all know, make an announcement about guests, I will be having on Sunday, once again, one of the first stunt guys from Hollywood that was actually on my show, Johnny Krang, is going to be on my show on Ninja Sunday, this Sunday at 12 p.m. Standard Eastern Time. You do not want to miss this. This man has fought Jet Li in a film and has interviewed Jackie Chan himself. He's done many other things, but he's a great stuntman, so make sure that you tune in Sunday. And also, next Wednesday, I'm going to be giving more publicity to a film called Martial Arts Kid, which stars not only the living legend, international kickbox champion, who's been in the Guinness Book of World Records 11 times, Don the Dragon Wilson's film with Cynthia Rothrock. I will be starting having guests on my show from that film. And already I've had a couple of guests from that movie on my show, but Don the Dragon Wilson's brother, James Wilson, is going to be on my show next week with Yua Chan, the producers of the film. So make sure you tune into that. But anyway, let's see. There's someone in the queue waiting patiently, and tonight's going to be a good show. Hope you all are going to enjoy it, and thank you all for the love and support. So here we go. Hello, caller.
Shelley. Caller, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and you?
Oh, good. You caught me at the gym, but it's good. It's good. We're good.
Yeah.
I'm with my buddy Tragic.
How long? Huh?
My buddy Tragic. He just won a contest to do a show. What was the name of the show?
FX.
It was on FX. So he just finished wrapping that up. So we're whipping back into shape for the summertime.
Sweet. Oh, my God. Best wishes, Jim. I should have him on my show.
Yeah, definitely. Hook you guys up.
Yeah, tell him I don't know if he's actually, is he friends on your Facebook?
Yeah, just look up, you want the TK one or the Tragic Knowledge? What site?
Yeah, Tragic
Knowledge, yeah, on my page. Yeah, okay. Now I'm wishing him luck, man, it's pretty cool.
Okay. I'll
yeah, I guess you had to write in some lyrics or something.
Cool. So, you're in the gym all sweaty and stuff, thank goodness this is radio, huh?
You know it.
Yeah, so what have you been up to? And I'm like, I wanted to scold you because you owe me the show.
I know.
I had people calling out. I was going to call the police and everything like that on the last show. And people like, where the heck is Cardi? Go, I don't know. It's not like Cardiac. He would have called in or something. It's like, and there you are playing ninja. And I'm telling you, anytime you do anything for a show, you better not do anything. You went out and played ninja, and you ended up in the ER.
Well, those Boy Scouts are dangerous, man. They don't play fair.
They don't play fair. I mean, how many were there? Two? Taking you.
There was a horde of them. It was like the Lord of the Flies. It was craziness going on. And, you know, I was ducking and shucking, and I guess I thought I was a Terminator for a couple seconds. I jumped out of a tower, and, yeah, it wasn't good.
What do you think you are, Jackie Chan, jumping out of a tower?
Well, I think I got something on Jackie with the injuries.
I don't know. Usually, he was pretty smart. He'll go to the hospital. You were just like, oh, well, gee.
Yeah, I'm just walking around. It was bad. My mom, Charlie, will tell you that and when I was younger, the nurses in the ER knew me by first name basis.
Why? What did you do? What the?
I was Batman, Spider-Man, I was all of them. I made my own Batman repellent gun when I think I was like 9 or 10, and I got stuck in a tree. I was like on the third story. And funny story, like the neighbors call my mom, and they're like, yeah, I see your son. And they're like, she's like, yeah, he's outside. They're like, yeah, he's outside, but he's outside our window, and we're on the third floor.
Wait a minute, what? Are you serious? Wait a minute. Did I hear this from before? I wonder if she told me this story before.
Yeah, I was in that tree for about 3 hours. I probably could have got down if I wanted to, but I knew what was coming once I got down there.
Why? Did you get punished for that, or did you run away?
Yeah. Punished is saying it lightly, but yeah. The wardens weren't happy with that one.
So this way, was your mom screaming at you in Spanish?
Yeah, like basically the full name, you know, Derek Benicio Arujito. It was bad.
I can just picture her, ladies and gentlemen, Sally, his mom, is one of my big sisters, so I can just picture my big sister just going off, yelling at him in Spanish, and it's just like sitting here going, I can just picture it. I just can picture it, and you probably get the meeting of a lifetime.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. Plus, picture this, like, it was like the third story, but the top of the tree was kind of weak, so I'm just like waving in the breeze, like every time the wind came by, like. And then my dad had to climb up the tree and get me. So it was a big deal.
So besides injuries and such like that, what have you been up to? Any new music stuff?
Yeah, I got some new music coming. My buddy Scotty Mack hit me up in Detroit. They also do another radio show up there. It's called... the independent music movement out of Detroit, and they just hit me up to do a song with them and, maybe hop on their tour for a couple of dates out here in Boston, so that'd be pretty cool. And then I'm shooting a commercial this weekend for a restaurant, that'd be pretty cool.
Can you say what the commercial's about, or is it all, I know...
Not yet till everything's done, because I don't know, but, contract or anything, so I don't want to, I just want to make sure once it's done and it's all chopped up, I'll let you know, but they said it's going to be on TV, so...
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. I'm happy for you. It's just so weird. It's like, and I got to tell my viewers, my listeners, that the weirdest thing is it's just some weird stuff that, how the universe brings people together, right? I was on some internet page with Cardiac and started talking to him, and he had his music, which was one of the song, The Fighters, which is one of my theme songs, and I really, really like it. So many months after that, me playing the song and stuff, I actually met my big sister, which is Cardiac's mom, and her name is Charlie. I call her Charlie Girl. So we got together, and we started filming together. We drove up to Maine when I was living in Boston at the same time. She gets a disc. She puts it into the car radio. She starts playing The Fighter. I start going ballistic. I'm like, oh, my God, that's my jam. Oh, my God, how the heck do you know that's the song? So your mom is laughing her butt off. She's going, that's the guy, my son, over there. And she's just going laughing. She's like, okay, you just don't even know. He's on something on this website with me. I started talking to him. She's like, she goes, that's my son. I go, no, it's not. that's my son's, and the thing, and it's like this other thing too, which I did not know at the time, because this was back in 2008 or so. In the video guys did of The Fighter, there was a box, and here's another thing that's about connection, right? There I am liking the song, keep playing the video every now and then. There's a boxer, and his name is Joe. Right? It's like there's all these connections with this one song for me in the universe.
It was weird.
Yeah, so I had no clue who he is. I've seen he's working out and stuff like that. This was over 3 years ago, and I'm posting a video and saying, this is an awesome song. And I ended up, finding out now, connected with him, who his name is Irish Joe McCready, the Beast, right? Who he's going to fight, have a title fight in Vegas, and I had him and his whole crew on. It was like, I had no idea who he was. And then I'm like, now he's all starting to blow up, and I'm like, what is going on? And I'm like, oh my God, just because I like the song. Oh my God, this is so awesome. Just liking what I love and having all these connections, it's just funny because of you and your song.
That song was crazy. It opened a lot of doors. Even before that, luckily one of my good friends, Rochelle Tierney, out of Rhode Island, she instantly loved my music, and her sister was going out with a boxer, Joey Spina, down in Rhode Island, and he was probably ranked 10th or 12th in the world at a certain point, WBA and WBC title holder. So she was like, yeah, you got to listen to these guys. And before you know it, we started working the boxing circuit with all these guys, and that's how we started meeting all these other boxers. And again, small connections. Joey knew the other Joey, and that's how I started doing the music with him. So it was crazy. But definitely loved boxing my whole life. So being a part of walking down the ring and being in the corner with these guys when they're taping up, it was intense, and it was awesome. That's an experience I'll never forget.
And that's like, it's amazing because another thing, because of that one song, because of your song, you got to hear this. I just got to catch up, and then it's like, we got to talk more about you. But because of the connection, what went on even further, now I'm going to be doing a photo shoot once I get a car and stuff with Joe, Irish Joe McCready, the Beast, after he comes back from Vegas in the boxing ring with, I was sent these T-shirts by Traditions, which is actually, the co-founder is Donna Dragon Wilson, who's that living legend boxer, kickboxer, and, you know, his company's called Traditions, and I'm going to be doing a photo shoot in a boxing ring back in Boston, you know, when I get down there with Joe and with the Traditions T-shirt. So because of that one little song, because I loved it so much, it became such a big an explosion for me. It's like I got family out of loving a song. It's like getting a family because of your song. So it's like the universe brings me the song. I ended up loving it. You become my nephew. I have a big sister. I'm a boss, and I'm an action chick. It's like all out of loving the song, and I would be blaring it and working out and stuff, and it's just like, it's just wonderful how the universe is working. It's just like, I never cared when anybody said, I just like love this song, and I'd be playing, I'm like, yeah, that's my jam. It's just like,
yeah, I mean, big props to Brendan Brady at Surefire, because he's the one that made the beat, and it was like, it was like last second thing to get that thing going. Like, I mean, it was actually for a TV show, I think, at the time. And it was going to be a documentary out in Rhode Island. They're like, you gotta get it done in a day and a half. And I'm like, okay. So we didn't even have a beat. You know, me and my brother scrambled to the studio, and like, we probably wrote it. And like, I think about, he was standing over my shoulder as I wrote the chorus and the song. I think in like 25, 30 minutes, we recorded it with Brady and, huh?
Oh, you said 25, 35 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was pretty quick. There's a thing being a rule. I mean, all the artists I work with, like Tragic, my brother Sacrifice, and we're really ridiculous, prolific writers. Like, it's ridiculous. I mean, I've seen, especially my brother and Tragic, he's throwing up garbage bags of, like, lyrics because it just was sitting there because they're just always writing. And it's like with us, we're competitive in a good way. So it's always like who can write the best and fastest and get it done on time, because it's like, you know, studios cost money. You don't want to be messing around. So we take it really serious, like, you know, writing songs down and stuff. Like, I see a lot of these younger guys coming in, and they're boozed up, they're high out of their mind, and they're just wasting hours, and the takes never come out good. And it's like, you have to go back and end up doing it again. It just never makes any sense to me.
Wow.
You got to be dedicated like anything.
Huh?
No, go ahead.
It's just that, for me, it's a really amazing song because it's that underdog song, that underdog feel, and it's like, it seems like it just brought a lot of people together for a song that you did within 25 to 35 minutes, so I think that's really an amazing feat. Do you know what I'm saying? It brought so many people together loving that song, and so much that came out of that song. You know, and it just makes me wonder, if it's that wonderful of a song, how come it's not a mega hit? You know what I'm saying? It's something like, you think like that, and if people really like it, it should be a mega hit, and you should have made millions off of it.
It's crazy, because, I mean, we owned all the rights to the song. You know, we wrote it flat out. We owned the rights to the beat, SS. And it was like lack of time, and like the first fighter came out, and it was to submit for that. Some other guy won the contest, but we heard the song, and I'm sorry, it wasn't our song. Like, it, no way, no how, our song kicked that song's butt. And since we were from the Lowell area where the movie was based on Mickey Ward, it's just crazy now that Joey is training with Mickey Ward and all them now. It's just, like, so weird. That it's like, you're so close, yet so far, and, you know, I just think that... The universe has its own destiny for things, you know, and so we'll see how it plays out. But the fact that it brought so many people together, I mean, I take that over being a mega hit any day, because, like I said, in the long run, you do music to get an emotion out of people. And if they can feel that raw emotion and they can get through their day because of something you wrote, I mean, that right there is priceless to me.
Yeah. And the thing is, I wanted to tell you in person, I know it's like I want to tell you more like in a voice or on a phone or something, because I have wanted to use this song on my short film, which I'm going to, you know, you got to get money. It's like, from what I found out from my short film, The Dishwasher, it's the director said it'd be like $500, but it's like, that seems like $1 million to me. So I've been working on this other film with some of my, like, not film, but I'm writing a story. So it has parts for all my Ninja Pals, people that I've been wanting to work my Ninja Samurai. It's called Theater of War. So I'm actually thinking of taking your song, The Fighter, and putting it in that film. And these are people that are my idols because your song means so much to me that the people that I'm writing the ideas for all my idols and getting ideas that I've been in contact with, you know, for 10 years where I'm not being handed anything. And it's like I've never been able to play, you know, the beauty part. It's like I'm not having anything handed to me. So I have to go and do my own thing. So I've been hanging on for 10 years, and I started connecting with people in the stunt business. I was walking on board as a Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame Board of Advisor and all this stuff. So I started connecting with the stunt community and people that actually do the film. So I started writing parts, and I said, you know, maybe it didn't make it in The Fighter, but taking your song, if you allow me, I want to put it in a film where people who are even like living legends that's for years that are known throughout the world, and I just want to honor that song and put it in that film. So I was trying.
Are you kidding me? I'd be flattered.
No, seriously, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to actually take that and take your song, The Fighter, and put it in where, you know, all these people, like other people, one of the guys who I call my ninja pal, and his name is Steven Lambert, and he worked on all the ninja films. He was on American Ninja and all this stuff, and I've got ideas for him. He worked with De Niro. He worked with Pacino. He worked with top Hollywood. He doubles for James Woods, okay, and he's friends with James Woods. So he's like, he's worked with him. So all these people, I'm even my top evil guy, I'm writing a part for James Woods. I'm getting these ideas. So it's like your song, The Fighter, you know, it just belongs in a really great film, you know, with underdogs. I can't really explain the plot, but I have these teams where I'm doing my homework, and I want to be smart. I'm not just going to, like, even if people were to give me money, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I'm doing my homework on ninjas and samurais and studying as much as I can and making sure the bloodline where, I mean, it doesn't matter about the race, but if I'm going to have real samurais and stuff, like Don the Dragon Wilson, I'm making him a samurai. And I know he loves the idea. He's like, oh, you know, and I can't even picture, you know, no one ever came to him and says, Don, because he is Japanese, says, would you ever play a samurai? So, like, all these people, you know, all my idols, you know, to have your song, The Fighter, and that film, it just belongs in the film. It would fit, and that's what I'm going to do. And I've been waiting to tell you. I'm like, dude, you got to get on. Like, I want to sit and bite my tongue, and I have to wait. I'm like, So I just wanted to tell you that. That's what I want to do with your song, The Fighter.
No, that'd be awesome. I'd be flattered because, like I said, me and Tragic were just talking in the gym, and he's like, Don Dragon Wilson. He's like, dude, that brings me back. I'm like, yeah, man. He's like, you remember doing karate in the living room? You know, like someone ends up crying because they're trying to do crane kicks and stuff. It's just.
Yeah, no, I'm like an action chick, and I says, I wonder if, like, in another life, you know, how it's like we're all adopted in extended families and stuff like that. I'm sitting here thinking, it was like, maybe we really were blood, because if you got into a lot of trouble, cardiac, when you were little doing stunts, we had all been related somehow in another life, because we're all crazy ninjas, and it just runs in all my extended family, and I go, it makes sense now that you're my nephew because you're a crazy ninja, and you keep getting hurt, and I keep telling you, don't do anything. When you have a show, listen to me. When you go on that little tour or something, don't do anything stupid so you end up in the
air. Oh, I'm not. I don't think I'm going to dance. I think I'm just stand in the middle of a stage and, like, do nothing.
I mean, before that, before you even go into do, like, I mean, don't even leave the house, okay? Don't do anything exciting. You do not want to break your ankle again and miss any of your performances.
Just wrap myself in bubble wrap?
Yeah, just like you need some protection or something. I don't know. Put on like a, I just don't know. Put some, yeah, besides bubble wrap, because you don't want to get hurt. If you're going to get into more performances, don't be stupid. Leave the ninja stuff to me, okay? You're a single rapper. Don't do anything crazy. I'll be your stunt double, okay? Put a sock in my hand, I'll be your stunt double, okay? I'll put my hair underneath my hat. You need to be set on fire or anything, just call Auntie Shelley. You know, I'll put a sock in my pants and, you know, I'll jump off a building for you, okay?
That's love right there. That's love, Shelley. People, my brothers know, man, like, I am far from a ninja.
That's right. You are not getting hurt anymore. Just think of that. I will do all the stunts for you. I'll get up on a horseback. I'm going to get my motorcycle license. I'll do all sort of crazy stuff for you, so you'll have an awesome video. I'll ride ATVs through fire for you, okay? I can ride on ATVs. You don't want to ride through fire. I've been dying to ride through fire on an ATV, so you need a stunt person. Just tuck my hair up, put a sock in my pants, and I'll do stunts for you. How does that sound?
Sweet. That sounds like a plan.
So before we get into all your new music and stuff, I want people to know about you. You know, when you were little, how did you get into music, and who were, like, your inspiration? So, like, where did it all start from you, and, like, where are you from?
Oh, Boston, Mass. Like, grew up in Cambridge for a little bit, but basically just a townie brat, you know, Malden, Everett, bounced around Lowell, because my mom was a cop. Basically, we just went where the job went, but music is crazy. Like, I'd have to say, biggest influence would probably be Run DMC. It was like the first time I heard their stuff, I was like freaking out. Like, from then on, I started really trying to write. It's tough to pin down, like, my influences, because once I started writing, I kind of really stopped listening to music because I didn't want anyone else to, like, put the direction of my music out there like that. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to be my own voice. So I'd like to incorporate a lot of melody and melancholy and all types of different emotions in my music. Like, from one song to the next, like, you heard that one song, The Fighter, is like aggression and underdog, and, you know, I'm going to fight the world by myself. I can do this. Whereas, like, you know, Find My Way to You is just about, you know, pure love. And, like, you just feel it in the song. So, I don't know. Influences, the old school rappers, you know, Queen Latifah, Nas, people that were talking about stuff, you know, not just the violence and the stupidity, but actually trying to get a message out. I feel like music nowadays has lost its way. There's no message. There's no love. It's just, let me go to the club and slap a booty and, you know, call a girl a bunch of profanities. Let's do some drugs and drink. And it's just like, it gets old. Like, if every song is like that, well, what are we talking about? Like, you used to try, you know, musicians used to be the voice of a generation. You know, Hendrix, Joplin, all these people that went early were like these huge influential voices for generations. And they still speak to us, because I feel like a lot of the newer artists just aren't picking up the slack.
Yeah, well, see, I think that's what you can bring some stuff back, because if you tell, like, you know, like in music and words, it's supposed to tell a story. So I really think with what's missing, I think the next thing, the thing that's going to, I think it's going to erupt, is there's going to be musicians that want to bring back and tell stories. Whatever it be, whether it be rap or pop or rock, I think it's going to get to a point where people are going to get sick and tired, and they're going to stop really bringing their own stuff. And I can picture you doing that, even if you bring it from movies, if you're writing songs. And seriously, I would love to, I think you could, I've been asking people to see if they were interested in, like, write me a Ninja Samurai film, like, song. You know, not just The Fighter. I was like, hey, you want to do that? I'll put that in my film. Because you know me.
Oh, that'd
you know,
be no problem.
Me. Yeah, you know a lot about me. And if you got that, because I like your voice. I like the sound of your voice, because it's like, even with The Fighter, I'm like, yeah. And, like, you know, everything else. So I think you've got a feel, because you know how I am. We've known each other for years now, back to, like, 2008, 2007. And I think you have, you know, what feel for, you know, you probably have an idea how you could write a song for me for the film. And I can tell you more about
for
it
me
now,
personally.
You know, sometime. Huh?
Yeah, well, me personally, like, when I'm writing a song, or me and my brothers, rule one, when we were in the room writing, we shut the door and we discuss it. From beginning to end, we start with the chorus and we work our way through. And as good as your verse is, if it has nothing to do with the song and you're not following an arc and you're not on point, you're going to have to scrap it and go back. Because, you know, my thing was, like, we have to stay on topic all the time. Because I know that a lot of musicians kind of don't do that or don't care. And I just feel like the quality of music has gone down. Where, like, if someone taps you on the shoulder and is like, oh, can you do a song about boxing? Well, I'm going to immerse myself in that world and every word I write, because, you know, you're kind of limited as a songwriter rather as writing a book. You have to make real certain that every single word means something, or else the song gets lost.
Yeah.
You know, the impact.
Yeah. And the thing that they keep showing, and I keep trying to talk to, like, different rappers and stuff, because it seems like there's people that are very talented out there, and I like their music. The thing that they keep showing over, and I keep trying to tell people to go beyond what they're doing, where everybody's standing around and just, like, rapping. And I says, why don't you have it, like, action-packed, showing some stuff, and they're like, well, no, I don't want to do this. They want to have all the smoking, the booty slapping, and all the stuff, and it's like...
Yeah.
It's all the same thing. So if everybody's doing, I mean, they're very good and very talented in their words, but it's the same type of video. So if everybody's doing the same exact thing, how are you going to stand out above any other rapper or any other musician? Because you got, it's the same stuff, money, smoking, blunts, or whatever you call it, the beautiful.
Money, drugs, hoes, whatever they want to call it. It's the same played out stuff. And like I said, I mean, me and my brothers, we all had the same dream. And, like, we look in the mirror and say, like, well, you know, what's going to separate us? What's going to make us genuine? What's going to make people feel us? And when we dropped the first album, It's a Rap, in 2005, it was basically opening our chest to the world. I mean, I talked about my family, you know, my uncle dying. We talked about a lot of stuff on that record. And it was basically just an open book. And people were like, wow, like, you really went there. And I'm like, you know, you have to as an artist. If you don't as an artist, you're not an artist. You're just a paper cutout, in my opinion. And, you know, like, I take artistry serious. Like, when I write for a song, like, you know, Laura Lee, the girl I'm working with right now, like, I try to get in tune with her moods, and my other singers the same thing. So if I know she's kind of feeling down, I'm going to try to write something sad so she can really feel that, and you can get that emotion behind the track. So the song Mumbling, we wrote right after the Boston bombing, and that's why you could hear that emotion from both of us. And it's when you write songs, I feel like it has to be emotion-driven, and it has to be there. If you're not feeling it and you're forcing it, you can kind of see where, like, artists nail it in, you know?
Yeah, and it's, you got to have that in your heart, in your spirit. You have to feel like with acting or anything like that, and I get to a point where it's like it feels all the same, and everybody's like, oh, you're just old because I'm 43. I go, no, and I'm trying to tell people, you need to stand about, and it's like, you know, like going back to the same thing, it's showing the guys with tons of beautiful women. And I think if we start showing in society that men and women, they don't have to really love tons of girls, if they really show and flip it a little bit that a guy and a woman, it could be one-on-one, and they could have the strongest love in a video.
Well, that's what Found My Way to You is all about.
Yeah
that's exactly what Found My Way to You is about.
I
same with you, Shai. I totally agree. Like, I'm looking around, and I'm like, everybody's playing the same games in their relationships. I'm at that mid-level where I can understand the youth, and I can understand the crotchety people that are like, I'm getting too old for this stuff. I'm like right in that matrix where, like, thank God, music and everything keeps me in tune with everything. But it's like people deep down inside, whether they want to say it or not, they're screaming for that one-on-one true love. You see it in their statuses all the time, like, oh, I'm cold. Like, no, it means, oh, I'm lonely. I need a hug, but I want to play games and blah, 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 and, you know, look cool on Facebook because I don't want to be direct. I don't want to look you in the eyes and say, hey, I love you. I'm saying it. I'm out there. I'm going there. That's probably the bravest thing you can do nowadays, is actually say to someone how you feel, because we know how it is nowadays. The rules are very weird in the relationship world. It's like, you go talk to a woman, and if she thinks you're creepy looking, you know, your same line that you would say to another girl that maybe digs you, you know, could come off as creepy.
Yeah,
it's very thin line.
Yeah, it's a whole triangle, because it's like, I'm like, I seem to like, I have a lot of friends that are guys, but I'm kind of a nerd, like, when it comes to, like, guys that I like, but I mean, I'm very honest, and I think sometimes what I do really scares men, because it's like, they say, it's like a catch-22, be real, right? Be real,
yeah,
and stuff, but it's like, if I sit there and someone really wants to know me and doesn't know the things I do about stunts, right, or anything like that, and they really want to know me, I go, well, I want to go jump off a building or a helicopter. And they're like, guys are like, pfft. And I'm like, no, really, I want to do that. It scares the hell out of guys. And I'm like, I don't want to be a man. So people are telling me to keep it real, which I get with what you're saying with what guys do. I get the same thing that guys do. You know how they, like, the guy says, I always end up being the friend and the, you know, when I'm never the boyfriend, that's me. That is me. So I know a lot. I can relate to a lot of men because I get along with guys. Because, you know, in everything, even my regular full-time job, I'm around guys all the time. But when it comes to a relationship, I scare the hell out of men. Because I'm just, like, you know, talking and being honest, and guys are like, they always say, you know, you're not like any other woman. And yet they go with the girls that give them so much drama, and the next thing you know, my exes end up knocking up a girl that they're not even together with anymore. And they're screwed over for the rest of their life, and they're like, oh, Shelly, I should have. I'm like, well, don't come talk to me. And I don't keep exes as friends. I don't keep telephone numbers. I don't keep
the game. That's nonsense.
You know, it's like when people say, I can keep my exes as my friends, blah, blah, blah. I can understand when you have, like, kids and stuff like that, and, like, we have good relations. Why should I have to keep any exes? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I want to start a new relation fresh, and I'm not going to bring any baggage. It sounds strange, but I'm not a woman that keeps any exes. Exes is exes for a reason. So, you know, scares the heck out of it. So, I mean, when you're talking about being real, I understand. When I'm seeing your Facebook page, I'm like, I'm just going to high cardiac. I know what you mean. And people, I've seen sometimes when they respond to you, you're thinking you're nuts. Like, you know, seeing replies, and I'm going, I respect your page. I don't want to get into a fight with anybody on Facebook page, but I get you about what's saying real and stuff like that. And sometimes you're funny.
There's no hiding.
Mean.
I was taught at an early age, like, you know, my uncle and a lot of strong influences in my life that taught me how to be a man. You know, you look a man in the eyes, you shake his hand. And if you have something on your mind, you say it. You don't come off aggressive, but you just say it. You don't have to say no offense before it either, because you're probably going to offend them. But you have to, if you have something that's blocking your perception of someone, or it's stopping your relationship from going further, you need to speak on it. And, like, I'm the type of person that kind of just lays everything out right at the beginning. I don't play that game. You know, like, when I was single, I would be, hey, you know, I'm kind of seeing three girls right now, and I'm not trying to play any games, so there you go. Like, if you can deal with it, you can. If not, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, if I like the chick, hey, I like you. You like me? Let's cut the nonsense. Like, it's over with. You know what I mean? It's same with business. Like, you know, I like your music, I respect your music, but on this particular verse, you're kind of off, and it's kind of bringing the song down. Are there better ways to say it? Yes, but you kind of have to be blunt with people to get the result you want. And in the end, people respect me for it.
Yeah. But it's tough at the same time, too, because when you're trying to be truthful and honest, people get pissed off. They complain about, you know, people, like, never being honest, no matter what it is, whether it's life or relationship.
That's keeping it real, right? So,
you know,
real.
You know, like, you're supposed to stay real, but when you're real, people get...
The closest thing to real is the truth.
What do you want me to do? It's like, bite my ass. I don't know what to tell people anymore. You know what I'm saying? You try to be as honest as you can. People wonder why I'm nuts. It's because they say, be real, and when you're real, it's like people get all freaked out. And I'm like, okay.
You want to know why? Because for me, honestly, after having my kid, keeping these false pretenses is exhausting. And I have no time for it. Like, you know, time is short. Business is money. Years are fleeting. You don't know how much time you have. You don't get time to spend with people. Like, you have a goal. Like, if I got to get a song done, well, I expect you to be in the studio at this time. I expect you to be ready to go, and I expect you to know your part. You know, it's same with a movie. You know, you better have your lines ready and, you know, right in your pocket when that director says go, you know? So you have to be ready to go at all times. And realness and blunt, I'm very blunt. And it really hasn't gotten me in any trouble because I have a way about me where it's like, you know, I'll still be grinning where I'm telling you something you don't want to hear, but it's like I'm not making fun of you. I'm trying to push you up.
And it's hard. And, you know, because people, when they have everything in front of them and you're being honest, they get freaked out. And you know what? Also, too, on the internet, because on the Facebook, I get people, you know, sarcastic things. I get it because we've been all on Facebook for 10 years. And I think the art of communication is lost on the internet because I get mad and I tell people, listen, I have this thing called Asperger's syndrome and stuff, and I can't communicate on the internet and text the way I want to, and people get all mad at me and get arguments on the internet and on text, and I'm going, call me, Skype me. I can't write these
right.
things out. And then they get mad. I says, listen, the out of communication is lost because no one uses the phone anymore. No one Skypes. And it's just like, okay, well, then I'm going to stop talking to you. And then, like, people are like, why do you stop talking to me? You don't pick up the phone. I'm not going to sit and argue with people because life is too short. Pick up the phone. And I hate, you know what I hate the most? And I think, I swear to God, a guy invented texting. I swear to God. Because, no, seriously, you someone just text you. I can understand when we're working outside or something, but, no, seriously, that person could be sitting on the toilet bowl taking a crap, and they just text you, okay? And it's like, you know, we've got to admit it. We've all been on the toilet bowl talking to people on the phones, our best friends. It doesn't matter. We're wiping a butt or whatever like that, picking our nose or anything like that. But, you know, someone just texts you. They're at home. And you got to call them, and then they'll pick up the phone. And it's like, you have to text them. You just text me, pick up the phone.
So you're preaching to the choir. I have to Facebook my mom for her to pick up the phone.
Like, I can understand when you're really busy. Everybody has a busy life and stuff like that. No one wants to talk on the phone anymore. And it has nothing to do with being a woman. I says, don't even put me in the same category as women, because I don't understand about fashion sense about women spending hundreds of dollars for a pocketbook to put makeup in. I'm like, is this like a magic carpet ride pocketbook? You know, it's kind of like...
Well, see, I can relate because...
I understand.
It's like business. Like, I used to set up videos or basically talk to producers or people, and, you know, one little text, it seems like it starts getting aggressive, you know, because, you know, it's hot and bothered, you know, a song's your baby, and, you know, someone's messing with it, or there's a deadline you have to meet, and sometimes the text comes off wrong. And,
yeah.
You know, because when I want something done, I want it done, like, now. Like, if I'm in grind mode where I'm, like, really working, and I need it done, like, I'm on someone's butt. And when they don't answer the phone, it gets me mad. So, like, I'll text them, like, look, dude, seriously, call me, because I don't want to text something for you to take the wrong way. Because they take it out. There's no period. There's no. Everybody's not masters of punctuation and spelling. So sometimes things come off as an exclamation point when it's really just a dot dot dot. You know what I mean? So when you call them, you finally call it. I'm the type of guy that the second a text seems like it's starting to go the wrong way, I dial the phone instantly. And I'm like, so what's up? Cool your jets. Let's relax a bit, buddy, and let's talk it out.
Exactly. It's just like it takes a few seconds to talk about it, and instead of just texting or whatever, even Skype, do you know what I'm saying? If you don't want to, I mean, I work in customer service, and I'm on the phones for 10 hours a day, which I'm like, you would think I don't like the phone, but with the computer and stuff, it seems like if you're having communication, especially with someone, you know, that you're close to or friends and stuff like that, you know why when I know someone's a really good friend, they talk to me on the phone, and that's how I keep friendships and family, because they will either Skype with me or they'll pick up the phone. So those people that just send me, you know, messages, they're not considered my friends anymore. They're acquaintances, and that's how I lose friends and people
right.
that I thought were family, because I'm like, listen, I said, I can't explain things on the internet. So it's like, move on, and people just in your life for so long, and here I am. And even though it's kind of funny how we kind of like sort of contacted over your the song The Fighter on an internet thing, and now you're my nephew. So, well, that's a good example for the internet, so that's a wonderful thing. It has its pros and cons.
Well,
that's a wonderful thing.
There's very few pros and a lot of cons. Like, I'm honestly, like, you know, every day on the feed, someone's bipolar. Like, it's either one day they're happy, next day they're sad, and you're always seeing the up and fluctuations. I mean, then, you know, one second they hate men, they love men, they're dating a girl, like, it's all over the place. But the cool thing, I really think, is just seeing my nephews grow up, seeing their pictures, being able to send pictures to my brother, like, that's awesome. But I feel like we're just letting too many people into our own space, you know, like, it gets creepy after a while, you know, and it's like, sometimes you have to detach, where it's like, I'm a very social person, but I'll sometimes go weeks where I hibernate like a hermit, where I'm like, leave me alone, I don't answer my phone, I'm just writing and doing my thing. And then, you know, I'll come out to get some sunlight and, like, you know, go crazy for a couple of days.
Yeah, and you must have been, like, working hard and stuff. And before we get into your new music and stuff, you know, with stumbled on the way, because I really like people out there to know. Because I believe, for me personally, with what I've gone through in my life, where, you know, the story with my life, I love Jackie Chan, and a lot of people told me it's not normal to like Jackie Chan. I used to have people scream at me all the time, and I couldn't understand it, you know, and it's like obstacles, and it's like, you think I was killing puppies. Like, they didn't like me like an Asian martial arts film, saying a woman shouldn't like this and stuff. So, you know, being an underdog and working, loving what I'm loving. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is to get to my point. With yourself in your life, how did you overcome with your dream and your path for your dreams of working on music? When you were feeling down or you fell off your path, did you have people that inspired you, and like, how did you overcome obstacles when you like felt so depressed, like it was the end of the world? What did you do to go?
God, I mean, God is everything. Like, there'd be times where I'd have nothing, not a penny in my pocket, but I wasn't out in the street, you know, like I had a place to stay, you know, like I'm like, well, times are really low, but they could be a lot worse, you know, and I would always thank to God that, I mean, I thank God I've never really spent a night out on the streets. You know, I've stayed in shelters and stuff like that, but I've never had to just, you know, curl up on a bench or something like that. And I know people who have, you know, and it's just, you know, when it gets that low, I just give myself to God. I pray and I trust, and I trust blindly. And every single time, he's got me back up on my feet, and the music just comes stronger and more fluid. And like, I've lately it's gotten more positive. Like, everybody likes a good booty shaking song and, you know, a good adrenaline song, and I can do those really easy. You know, for me, it's like I've been doing them for so long that I can crank those out ad nauseum, one after the other, but they're never going to connect with people. Like, I want to connect. I want, when you truly get that connection with a song, like, you know, you with a fighter, I know one of my mom's friends, like, basically broke down in tears over this song I wrote for my unborn child, and it was just so deep that, you know, it was about fatherhood and being a guy and not being ready for the kid to come. And it just, like, when you touch people like that, when people come up and give you a hug, you know, like, it's crazy, because it's a rap album. Like I said, it brought us in with all those boxers and then later with Joey and them. But there was this one moment where it wasn't for getting paid or glamorous with the boxers. There was this school for people who had brain injuries. And basically, their injuries were so severe that they got knocked down to basically the mentality of children. And we got offered to go down there and perform. And I was like, this is awesome. So we went down there, and it was the best audience we ever had, ever. Like, we performed, they danced with us. I mean, they were just so happy. Like, we got there was this huge banner written in crayon, like, you know, welcome CPR, and it was like we signed autographs. And I mean, these people, like these kids and these grown adults, I mean, they were looking at us like we were like the biggest star ever. Like, you would have thought, you know, Michael Jackson and Madonna double headlined a show when we walked in there. You know, it was crazy. And like, to see that much love from people that just had so much going against them, and the simplicity of that moment where it's like, you know, you have to remember that you have to remain humble. And the biggest obstacle for 99% of these musicians out there is their own ego. They're trying to push their reflection out of the way, and it's just impossible. Like, you get in your own way with this big ego flaunting around like you're this big gangster. Because I know 90% of these guys, I see them walking into the studio, and they're not tough guys. Like, it's laughable, you know. Like, and yet, you know, me and my brother, like, you know, we did some crazy things growing up, and, like, we don't flaunt that. Like, we want to grow with our music as we grow as men, and we want to send a message that it's not all about that life, you know, that crazy lifestyle. There's hope, and you can find hope in anything. It's this little tiny thing. You know, hope is infinite. That's why it's so sellable. It's like, it's a great commodity, because hope is anywhere. You can find hope in a flower. You can find it in a cloud, in a story, in a poem, in a movie. You know, your kid gives you a hug. That's more hope for tomorrow, you know, so I just feel like you have to get out of the box, give yourself to God, and trust. Because, again, I'm a person who's not really – I really don't care what people think about me. So I'm not into that mold of like, oh, he's a God freak now, or he's a Jesus freak, or this and that. It's like, no, but I'm not going to hide my beliefs because it's not popular right now. You know? It's like – I saw a thing the other day.
No, I get – I get what you're saying, because it's like little things like that, like, because there's another thing to it, it's like, you know, with the fight besides the boxing, you know, me like the martial arts, I'm like an underdog, and with the song The Fighter, there was another special thing that kept me hanging on with the song and why I would play it over and over again, you know, like Rocky, and I consider myself an underdog, and it's like, your song gave me a little bit of hope because, you know, I've had hard things myself and just trying to overcome, and thinking it's like, you know, playing your song when I felt down, and it's like, I used to cry over things because I had ex-boyfriends, and honest God, I'm not kidding, they would say to me, like, I can't get past, like, your looks, and you're not beautiful enough to be with me.
Oh, like,
that's
low, man.
And I know
that is scumbaggery of the highest scumbaggeration.
You know, like, this is like, I sit back and laugh at all these things because, like I said, it was giving me hope because it's like I talk funny, you know, with the Boston accent, and people, you know, it's like, oh, she's retarded.
What accent? What are you talking about? What?
Oh, I know.
What?
Like,
how you say it?
You see why The Fighter, it really meant a lot to me because at the time when it came out, I was going through so much at that time because Jay Giannone, one of my film brothers, he's like, he gave me hope because at that time, before I really got to know you, at that time back in Boston, I almost killed myself. I almost literally took a knife and killed myself. And it's like all these little things. I called up Jay, you know, back in Boston, and I said to him, because I want to work with Jackie Chan, is that possible? And he works on Hollywood films, and he was the first person. This is what I'm saying. With your stuff, it makes a difference in people's life. And Jay was, like, out there. That show, Entourage, is about Jay and his friend Mark Wahlberg.
Right.
And he's out there in Hollywood. Never once did he make fun of me. He says, I asked him, do you think I can work with Jackie Chan? He goes, you know, if you work for it, it's possible. He didn't make fun of me, and it's like I've had a connection with him since then. And with your song, The Fighter, when I play that, you know, when I'm working out, it makes me feel beautiful because I've always been the underdog. I've always been the ugly girl. And it's like it's all this stuff where, you know, you've given me hope. The song has really given me hope. And now when someone's done something for me and helped me do stronger, like I said, take your song, The Fighter, and put it in my film, Fury War, even though this is going to take a long time for me to write. It's something where I love that song so much that Human Sacrifice did, and I want to honor it, to put it into a film where all my idols are together. So you really helped me with that song.
That's
so amazing.
That's why I do it.
You know?
I mean, that's why we do it. I mean, it's like, I mean, trust me, I've been on this all my whole life. Like, you know, like, I was born, you know, asthma. People said I couldn't play sports. You know, like, I was one of the top athletes on all my teams. Like, you know, like, oh, you're never going to be able to run. You know, I smashed the PT test in the Army. I was in the top 10th percentile. You know, like, they said, oh, he's not going to be able to read. He's dyslexic. He's this. He's that. You know, I took a test, and they're like, his reading comprehension is beyond college level. So it's like, constantly people, even as a kid, were saying, I couldn't. I was like, yeah, right, watch me, you know. And even now, like when coming up, when I was younger, you know, when I started rapping, it was only black kids rapping. And they were like, yo, who's this little Mexican kid trying to rap? And, you know, I wasn't even Mexican. I'm like, I'm not even Mexican. But they're like, you know, they're just making fun of me. And then I open my mouth and start rapping, and I start doing reggae, and they start going crazy. They're like, oh, my God, you know, and it was just constantly telling myself, you can do this no matter what, you can do this. It was always an inner battle struggle with myself because, you know, I was an ugly duckling as a kid, you know, like the chicks used to diss me and I didn't really know how to talk to girls and I was a big comic book nerd and I still am, you know, but it's just like when you so like when you finally, you know, one day, I think I was like 14 or 15, and the prettiest girl in school didn't even recognize me because I'd been gone for a year, and I came back, and I grew a foot, and I was tan and muscular now, and everybody's like, who's the new kid? I was like, I've been here for 6 years. Like, it was, I know how it feels like to be on the bottom of the social food chain, and I know how it feels like to be on the top because, you know, she said yes, we started going out with dating the most popular girl in school, and you go from being the kid no one talks to or whatever to being the most popular kid in school. And from then on, I never allowed anybody to be bullied. You know, like if any kid had a problem, I'd be like, you know, come see me. I got you. And I'd always help kids out here or there. And it's funny because years later, I'm sitting there on, you know, Facebook, and one of the kids that I helped out just randomly hit me up. And he's like, I'll never forget that day, you sticking up for me. Like, you know, and it was like, it really, you know, kind of almost shook me up a little bit. I was like, that's cool. You know, like that, you know, I'd encourage anyone that if you see someone getting bullied, like speak up. Yeah, you might get hit. You might get punched, but you got punched for the right reason. You know, like you stood up. And if more people did, I think less people would go by the wayside and feel like they're nothing. You know, like everybody's something. Everybody has something to bring to the table. And I've never judged people from outward appearances. Like if I hear you speak and I dig what you're about, I like your words, and you're a cool person to me. And, you know, whatever you're into, that's whatever you're into, you know?
Yeah.
I think life's journey brings us all there. And it all comes back to the music mm-hmm. where it just, you know, I discovered music after all this craziness, you know, getting in trouble with gangs and all this nonsense. And then music pretty much saved my life. It straightened me out. It gave me a goal. It gave me a purpose, you know? So I write about it, you know, like a lot. It's a line reoccurring in a lot of my songs, like something with purpose, something with meaning, basically just trying to, you know, just keep yourself going. Like the music right now at this point, you know, you figure, you know, maybe it might not ever happen, but you know, honestly, like as long as, you know, it's viral, things go out there, people hear stuff, like it's crazy. My brother was in Florida 4 years ago, sitting at a bus stop, hating life in the rain, car was broken. And all of a sudden he hears one of our songs off the album from behind him. And he's in Miami. And he's like, what the hell? And there's this kid rocking out on some headphones. And he's like, yeah. He's like, yo, you hear this? He's like, yeah, it's dope. He's like, yeah, those are my brothers. And the dude was like, shut the F up. Like, gave him the finger and kept walking. And he was like, normally that would have pissed me off. He's like, but that totally made my day.
It's awesome when, like, little tiny things like that, you know, just being blessed and hold on. And I support people's dreams. This is the one thing that I do support, and I keep telling people, no matter how old they are, because I meet people on sets, and, okay, I'm like, I'm not ashamed to say my age. I'm 43, and there was, I was working on I do zombie films. I don't play the pretty girls. I dress up as monsters and stuff like that, and I play good zombies, and I play good, like, you know, crazy people. And
my kid, but I didn't want to cut you off, but my son is obsessed with zombies. Obsessed. Like, he's three, and he watches The Walking Dead, and he does not flinch. It's funny to him. He doesn't, he's not scared of the goriness. Like, he watched this show, this little movie, Paranorman, over and over and over again, and I'll send you a video. My son will, like, if I say, Vinny, do a zombie, he just starts walking. Like, 3 years old through the house.
Like, kid zombies or something. He could be like my son. I do awesome. I would after
he would so do it. Like, he loves zombies. Like, I don't know where he got that. Well, I know. It's his mom. She, Patricia, is obsessed with zombies. So.
All natural.
So it rubbed off.
Hey, you have an auntie zombie. You can, like, I'm going to, like, tag you in some pictures of me playing zombies. I played a zombie a couple weeks ago. It was over a month ago for a film, and then in the summertime. And I do my own makeup and stuff like that, and I do my own stunts. I'm not kidding. I was like, you know, I've played ninjas. I have the makeup from head to toe. I'm going to tag you in them. I do my own makeup and anything. I learned that from working in films. So I'm also, like, stunt zombie, too. So getting into that, and it's actually a good tool, because the thing is about playing zombies, the thing is you don't have to be pretty. You get all nasty, you're all sweaty, and it's like everything I learned, all the things that, believe it or not, when you're a zombie, the stuff that they show on there, it's all made of food. But I got to tell you, I almost puked one time, and I work with one of
yeah.
my brothers, go to Z, right? So we were doing a film that actually I almost threw up on one of the actors because I'm not kidding. They have this stuff where I actually kind of it was made out of husk or something like Metamucil, okay? And it just, like, it went into my ear. It was supposed to be goop, and it, like, leaked into my ear canal, but it was nothing bad or anything. And I was, like, one of the actors that were in front of me, I was going, like, because it felt so nasty, and I'm all good,
right.
But it was made out of food. But just that going into my ear canal, I was like, ah! So it was kind of like, blah, and I almost threw up on one of the actors. And I played tons of zombies, so, you know, it's just like, it's like one of those things that I can't help. I just was like, ew.
Well, I play a mean scarecrow because my brother that runs the Sarah Joy Foundation, the cancer benefit, I just performed for them last month. They're out there in Philadelphia, and they did a neighborhood haunted house for the kids. But this thing was creepy as hell. Like, I mean, we had he went all out. He bought all this makeup and, like, props, and my mom was, like, the tour guide and taking the kids through. One kid passed out. A couple adults went running, fleeing in fear from the place. Like, it was intense. We had to give out warnings towards the end to the kids.
Really?
Yeah. And we got pictures. It was crazy. I was just like, I had this burlap sack, and my brother had a really creepy backyard with a shed, and it looked like this little field, and it had all these, you know, like rocks and cranes, and like those tons of places to pop out and freak people out. And, you know, so I'm sitting there like still like a corpse, like on top on this thing, and everybody was like, oh, that's fake, that's fake. And then I would just jump out at them, and like, people were freaking out. I saw the picture, and I was like, yeah, I think I'd jump, too, if someone dressed like that come out of me.
So, like, what are some of the new stuff that you've been working on? Anything you can talk about or anything?
I've got an audition coming up this summer for Polypore Films. They did this last room, the Polypore film, and it was, like, basically about this time traveler. I got killed in it. My 5 seconds of fame, I got shot. And then basically they called me up and wanted me to audition for another part because they thought I'd be good for it. So I'm basically going to be playing like some kind of goon or something. So we'll see if that goes through with that. And music right now, I'm working on a couple more follow-up songs for the summer for me and Laura Lee. We got like 3 or 4 songs. They're just like feel good, you know, energetic, you know, sunshine and songs, you know. And then I'm probably going to get into some more darker, serious stuff with my brother. We're going to start recording Sarah Joy Foundation album for charity for the Sarah Joy Foundation, which the last fundraiser, they raised about $8,000 for the charity, which is pretty cool. And they're the only nonprofit of their caliber, like their size, to be nominated for the presidential award for those type of foundations. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, wow. It seems like...
So, I mean, I love working. Huh?
It seems like you're able to also with your music, you're able to actually give back, and I think that's really beautiful.
I think I've never felt better than when I give back. Like, my mom taught me at a young age to give back, and, you know, like, you know, that's, you know, we're doing the Rock for Hunger, let's do this, or we're going to go run over here and do the Special Olympics. And, like, for me, doing the Special Olympics was one of the most rewarding things I've ever done. Like, again, it was in liking to when we did that show with the brain injury kids. It was awesome. Just the love and the genuine happiness from these people that you're just passing out a T-shirt. You're just, you know, cheering them along, and they're just, you know, ecstatic about it. And people with so much adversity in their lives, just, you know, like, la, 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 la. And here we are crying about the most mundane, stupid stuff. Like, oh, I didn't get 2 sugars in my coffee. What a bad Monday. It's like, shut up.
I've done it, too. I'm guilty of doing that, too. I make Asian stuff, but then it's like, then you, another thing, too, you know, anything you do, and I really want you to get a hold of me because, you know, I've been doing the show for so long. You have any shows, anything to promote, you know, I'll write up a promotion, I'll read it on the air, I'll post on my Facebook page, anything that you're doing, because I've been trying to also help, if you can tell us a little bit more, something I've been trying to talk a lot about is the Sarah Joy Foundation. Are you able to tell the viewers a little bit about it? Because I've been trying to, like, you know, help promote it and stuff and come on board and talk about it. And you yourself, how is the Sarah Joy Foundation, how are you related to the Sarah Joy Foundation?
Well, my brother married this wonderful woman named Sarah, and she passed away recently to cancer. And she left behind 2 little boys, my nephews. And it was really just an awesome thing to have the whole family come together and be like, look, we're going to do this in her memory and try to basically lighten the load for people going through this. Not necessarily pay all the bills or take them out of debt or anything, but just throw them something to get their minds off it. Like, you know, give them a little money to go to vacation or go out to dinner or catch a show just to get their minds off, you know, the fight they're going through. And we also had awards to honor, you know, a bunch of fighters, you know, basically, you know, like the song again, you know, fighters, like we basically warrior awards for people who survived it. And, you know, I every time we do it, this is the second year we did it, you can just feel Sarah in the room. And she was just such a loving, giving presence. Like, it was just awesome. Like, you know, and she's another one that whenever my life was really low, I'd be like, let me give Sarah a call. And she would instantly get you off your butt and ready to go do things again. You know, it was, she just had a way about her. She's like, shut up, D, and go do it. You know, and like, you just do it because it was Sarah. You know, she didn't have a mean bone in her body. And to see just so many people come together, so many people embrace this foundation, because, I mean, last year we did it in this little tiny room upstairs from a bar. And we got so huge this year, we rented out the main VA over here in Lowell, and it was packed to the gill. There was no seating room. So, again, we're going to have to get a bigger venue next year, and I'm going to be hosting it. So it's just going to be a huge, huge thing. I just feel this thing getting bigger every year. I just feel it just growing and growing and growing. And it's just awesome to see all our friends, everybody just committed to this. It's awesome.
It's really beautiful. I'm really too, and I keep wishing that I had like a bigger voice to help bring more attention to it. And it's just something that when I try to explain it as best as I can, because people, it's really hard to explain because you hear so much about bad things happening to good people, and there's no explanation. There's no rhyme or reason, but sometimes out of something or tragedy, something beautiful does come out of something that, and that's the Sarah Joy Foundation. And that's the only way, you know, I'm typical, why does bad things happen to good people? And you can't explain it, and it sounds crappy because good people don't deserve things like that. And I never met Sarah, and it's like I still want to call, like, my niece. You know, I just, you know, to keep her memory alive. And even, like, I want to write some sort of one of my films, a dedication, you know, in the credits, having something dedicated to Sarah, just to have something near, you know, to help keep her memory alive. And hopefully as my voice gets bigger, I can actually, you know, even advocate more for the foundation, you know, because it's like I know where the money's going, because, you know, all these foundations out there, we don't know exactly.
There's so many crooked foundations. It's ridiculous.
You know what I'm saying? Where's the money going? And at least I know you guys personally, and I know where the money's going, and I'm looking in the queue, and I think someone's in the queue right now. So I'm going to bring them in. Give me one moment. Let's see who this is.
Okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, sweetie. It's me. What's going on?
Hi. What's up?
Nothing. I figured I'd stop by and chat real quick and say, hey, what's up, guys?
Hey. We got
going
on.
Live.
No.
You two have to get together for a show. You guys are hysterical. I'm over here dying, laughing. I'm like, these two need to take their act on the road.
Well, it's blood. Well, it may not blood, but it's La Familia. La Familia. Isn't that how you say it? How do you say it in Spanish? La Familia.
La Familia.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll try to say it the best I can. I talk funny in a way, but I try to spell it out.
Oh, Shelly, forget about it. Forget about it. You're good.
No one, that's Shelly. Funny story. No one believes Derek when he says cardiac, when he says he's Spanish, because as a matter of fact, he had a friend. What was it? The cardiac 3 years. He thought you were.
Oh God, yeah, Joey Spina from the boxer, from the Italian as Italian gets, you know. And my brother was like, Joey, you know we're not Italian, right? He goes, get the F out of here. You're not Italian. He's like, you're pulling my chain. Shut up. And like it was. It was like he was so serious, like we infiltrated his trust, like it was crazy, like it was nuts, like legit known the guy 3-4 years and had no clue we weren't Italian, like
yeah, it was pretty funny.
it's all mixed. We're all like one big happy family. But it's like people like, when they say like Italian, Spanish, it's all the same. And I'm like, I look at them and I'm like, I'm not even going to argue because it's the stupidest thing that I ever hear. And it's like, you just want to face palm yourself.
It is the same thing for us. It is the same as for us. It's a mix because my adopted grandfather literally fell off the boat from Morelia in Italy. He was a merchant marine, so the influence is there. I mean, my maiden name is Maneri from my adopted family, so the influence.
So then, all our adopted family, cousins, everyone, like, is pretty crazy.
And needless to say, that's where. I won't embarrass them by saying what their middle names are, but their middle names are do have that Italian influence, and that's where they came from. Because my mother, also she herself was Spanish, she had been around the Italian influence so much. She's like, oh, you got to give them this middle name, you got to give them that middle name. So all their middle names, while a lot of people think they're Latino middle names, they're really not. They're more Italian than anything else.
Yeah, like mine's Benicio, which I love, so I go by Benicio. Like, you know, like that's how they spelt it. And then my son obviously named him the same thing, Vinny, because, and when I was bouncing in Boston, it was just that no one messes with a Vinny. So when you work at the door, like, what's your name, Vinny?
Yeah, no one messes with Vinny.
Hey, Vinny, my cousin Vinny. Yeah, you
blend. Yeah, everybody's like, oh, Vinny's my friend. He's my pal over there. Like, you know, it was crazy.
Well, Sully, that's the running joke because now I have the other three. I have the other three grandchildren. I have, you know, Tony and little Alex and Tiki. And every 2 seconds, they're like, "Oh, my cousin Vinny this and my cousin Vinny that," and I just want to bust out laughing because all I can think of is Joe Pesci in that movie because it's so freaking hysterical. And these guys are killing me.
Two youths.
No, I wanted to call in real quick and just mention that, you know, you were asking Cardiac about the foundation, and we just felt he actually is a little bit modest. He actually this year performed at our benefit, and he just literally brought the house down. He performed two of his songs, and one of the things we kept mentioning was that we felt that we needed a bigger personality because Eric, obviously, he is the face of the foundation because he's the president. But at the same time, when you're the face of the organization, you also have to be the networker. He needs to be out, you know, talking to the guests and trying to network people and trying to network into different companies and organizations. And obviously, you can't do that if you're also trying to run the fundraiser as well. So Derek just brought this magnetism and this energy to the room that we're sitting there saying, you know, next year we need someone to MC the event. And we kind of both looked at each other like, have Cardiac do it. So that's why we decided that we couldn't think of anybody better to do it than him, and we just feel that he's absolutely right. It's just we could feel Sarah in the room, and I think the one thing that he hasn't mentioned is the fact that Sarah was so big on always bringing the family together. That was her thing. She was the type of person that when she was cooking in the kitchen, she wanted everybody in the kitchen with her. She wanted everybody helping and doing all these different things, and that's just the way she was. So that's what I see her doing now because it really was a family event. I mean, you know, you had Alex was in the front door collecting tickets, our other son, and Jose and our daughter Christina was selling raffle tickets, and Chris was videotaping and taking pictures, and all, you know, another friend was taking pictures, and Jess was taking pictures, and Derek was, you know, networking with people and performing as well, and Mel was also selling raffle tickets. And so it's really a family event that she brought everybody together, and we could really feel that. And I think that's one of the things that we can say is a good thing that has come out of it, because she really has brought the family together even more so, because one of the things about our family that everybody constantly says is that we're a blended family. Obviously, Mel had four kids. I had four, and we came together like the modern age Brady family, Brady Bunch. But one of the things that the kids and Cardiac can attest to this is that they're really tight. They get along very well. I mean, they get along better than most so-called blood relatives. I mean, they still hang out together. They do things together all the time. They're all over each other's houses, that kind of stuff. So that's one of the really the things that I see has really come out of the fact that Sarah passed away, the fact that she's still bringing us together. She's still making sure that we get together for events. Last year we had the road race, and Derek didn't, Cardiac wasn't able to come down because he was playing ninja and busted his ankle.
Stupid butthead! Stupid
butthead! Yeah, I know, right? Always playing the ninja.
Yeah, I'm going, I'm writing as I'm live on the ear. I'm trying to hold it together, Cardiac. I'm having a heart attack. I'm writing constantly. I'm going, Cardiac,
right.
I'm going to everyone that knows you, where's Cardiac? And it's like, something happened. So I'm over paranoid because that's part of the Italian in me going, what the hell happened to Cardiac? Did he get hit by a car? You know these things that run into your head? Why is he not calling in? And then next I see is your son tending to your foot on the pitch. I go, what did that stupid ass do? And I'm sitting here.
Pretty much.
You hit the nail on the head with that one, Shelly.
See, Cardiac, he's got the family thing. What did that knucklehead do? Because you got it down pat. Because we know, like, if we don't hear from him, we know something happened. And then it's like, yep, he busted his ankle. So he wound up. So he wasn't able to come down for the road race. But it's one of those things that we do come together as a family. And, you know, we feel it more so next year. Because one of the things that my husband, you know, Cardiac stepdad, has always taught us is that it's not always about what you can bring to the table, tangible, like money or donations or goods. It's also what you can bring in sweat equity. So it makes it, we try to remind everybody that, look, you might not have a job or you might not be able to donate $1,000, but you can perform. You can be an MC. You can donate in other ways. So that way it keeps everybody on an equal field, and it makes them realize that everybody contributes as a family. And one of the things that Cardiac said that really hit me was the music. The music has just, you know, Darlene last year, who was our Queen Ambassador, Brady mm-hmm. and them donated studio time for her, and she created this amazing song that we're going to put in the queue later on next week. And she created this amazing song that's also about being strong and about overcoming adversity. And that's something that everywhere you go, music will touch people in some way, somehow. This is the reason why I'm so passionate about the talk show and music and encouraging. I try to tell my kids, look, everybody thinks that unless you're 17 or 18 when you got signed, give it up. And I know you have responsibilities, you have kids to take care of, and obviously you want to do that, and you need to keep the quote-unquote day job. But don't ever give up a dream, because what people forget is your music, or like you with your martial arts, or acting, or singing, or whatever, that's not what you do, it's what you are. And people forget that. And you can't stop doing that any more than you can stop being Italian, or stop being from Boston, or stop being Latino, or stop being a ninja, because that's part of who you are. And that's what I try to remind people. And I think that's what Cardiac music does, and I think that's why it touches people in so many ways.
Yeah, and speaking of certain things, I got to tell you, Charlie, this is going to be a little of a comedic. You know, like we were going over, you know, how I like got in touch with Cardiac and the song, The Fighter, and it was your son. I got to tell you something, Cardiac's going to poop his pants when I say this live on the air. This is even before he really became my nephew. Now, going back, we were both going to go on a reality show together. This is how this is really
oh, my God.
Okay, now this is my nephew. This is Cardiac's my nephew, right? You know, nephew, auntie. But at the time, I didn't really know who he was. So there was this reality show, and they wanted me to go on as one of the girls. And he was like the Bachelor or something like that.
Bachelor. Remember that? It was the Bachelor.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was.
They had it written where
it's like I had to cook a meal for a lady, and she had to judge me by my cooking skills.
How messed up would it be if I went on the show not knowing who he was, but he's kind of like my nephew? That kind of would have went down. Like, I don't even know the backwood stuff. And it's like, oh, my God. I would just be so freaking geeking out for the rest of my life. Yeah, I'm kissing my nephew. You know, it's kind of like, oh my God, because it's like, I auditioned for The Rock Along, Brett Michaels thing, and people like, Shelly, don't go on that show. So there I was at the time, and that was coming out the time. I says, I want to go on. I don't know if I was going to get paid. And like, people like, do not do reality shows. That's the one thing I'm glad I took him the advice, because imagine that. We would have been so screwed up for the rest of our life. Kissing Auntie Shelly.
I just remember you guys when you figured it out. It was like you kind of look at each other. It was the day of the fashion show, and you kind of would look at each other and shake and shudder and go like, oh.
And I mean, not saying that Katia's not a bad-looking guy, but it's kind of like, oh, my God. It's like something. It's just like, oh, my God. I'm just like, I got to go in the bathroom and shower. I need the sink and the closet. Oh, my God. What the heck is wrong with me? You know, it's kind of like freaking and geeking and getting the jibby-wibbies and nah.
Well, Shelly, you'll be relieved. I saw the finished product. They made me the bad guy.
No.
Yeah, it was like a nice guy. You know, the winner, and then me, and I'm like, I was like the cocky douche. So the director, like, in between takes, he's like, can you douche it up a little bit more? I was like, you got it.
Hey, you got it. I'll play the douche. Nephew.
I was like, I'll flex the whole time. You want to do that? He's like, yeah.
My nephew's the douchebag. It's wonderful. That's good for showing. My nephew, the douchebag.
Well, then do a take where I won. They did a take where I won, and then they did a take where I didn't. So it was funny.
You guys are too funny. Well, I'm going to get off. I just wanted to congratulate Cardiac on his music and the upcoming projects that he has, and let you guys know that the interview sounds fabulous, and you guys are doing a great job.
Cool.
Thank you.
Again. If he doesn't play a ninja and gets hurt in the ER, he's welcome on my show anytime.
No ninja for me. Team No Ninja.
Don't forget to give out your website. So go to Reverb Nation and look up Cardiac. Some of his great music's on there. As well as he's on Facebook. So make sure you got all that going on. All right, guys. So it was nice stopping by, and I'll talk to y'all later. Have a great night.
Okay. Bye,
sis. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Gotta love my mom. She's got to call the show and make sure I don't have any smuts on my face, you know?
Bring that up and tell her, but it's just like, just that reality show just sinking. I was like, I think we both would have been scarred for life. It's like, I'm just glad I never decided to ever go on a reality show, even though it's kind of like,
well, thank God I did the stipulation that that I wanted to make sure that it wasn't going to be airing, that I wasn't going to be an ongoing thing. He's like, no, it's just a pilot to sell to the network. They're not going to really air it. They're going to reshoot it and reboot it if they do take it. Where this is just basically to show them a finished product. So I was like, all right, cool. I'll take $600 to do that. And honestly, that was the easiest job of my life. I worked like maybe 20 minutes, probably like 4 or 5 6-minute takes. And then I was just sitting in the room watching a Patriots game all day, and I got paid $600.
Really? Wow.
Yep.
I was like, I better find out how you get paid that much for not doing much. I'm like, usually the opposite. At least what you do, it doesn't bring you pain. I get thrown around, and you make more money just by sitting around and just talking or whatever.
I found something a long time ago with the auditions and anything that has to do with Hollywood. If you walk on set like you do not care, they are magnetized to you. It's ridiculous. Like, we were on the set of The Grown-Ups, and all the extras are sitting in this hot, muggy tent. Everybody's bored out of their mind. They had one, like, messed up thing of juice in the corner. It was ridiculous. So I go over to the other side where the actors are, and they got all these coolers of drinks that they're never going to all drink. You know, they all get thrown out at the end of the night. So I just walked in there like I own the place, and I'm coming back with Gatorade and cookies, and they're like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, hey, I'm living the dream, man. No one's stopping me. Dude, you're going to get in trouble. I was like, yeah, I'm going to get in trouble.
You are my favorite. Like when I was on the set of you did the same thing as I did. I was like, I think I told the story before when I worked on set around The Rock, from the Gillette Stadium and the game plan. And it was like I got all this stuff. I was Boston Casting was casting in, and I was playing an extreme fan. I love The Rock, and there I am screaming for his character, Joe Kingsman. And in the trailer, the trailer of the game plan, because it was like in Gillette Stadium, and I was screaming for him the whole time. And I actually got his attention at one time because at the time I was training in the dojo back home in Boston. Ran all the way up the stairs, got all this food for everyone. And so it's like I kept wanting a hug from The Rock. So after I came down and I had a muffin in my hands, and everybody was like, "Hey, crazy girl, The Rock was just near your seat. Will you just suck?" And I went, "Oh, it's all quiet." So he's on the field. And he turns to look up, and he's like, "Hey!" And I was like, "I love you, Joe." And he points up. He's like, he said something like, "Behave." And I was like, I got so excited, I squished the pot of the muffin. The top part of the muffin shot up in the air.
That's the best part.
Where it went, because I got so excited. I'm like, "It'd be good." And I was like, "Oh, I love you." And the funny in the trailer of the game plan, you didn't see where I was. Yeah, I mean, the Patriots, all the Patriot players were there, the cheerleaders and stuff, and it was a really fun day. And I even met this wrestler who came up to me, and he was playing the opposite team in this blue and white uniform. He came up to me, his name was Bugh Douglas, and he was really cute. He goes, "Well, I'm not The Rock, but you want a hug?" I was like, "Okay," because he was really cute. So it was just really funny. But if you look in the game plan in the trailer, The Rock actually looks up in the trailer, and the reason why he looked up in the trailer into the stands was because of me. It was just so funny. I wasn't in the film. I was there for hours, and they had all these dummy people, and they kept moving us all around, and it was just like...
Well, see, that's the same thing.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, once you've been on one set, you pretty much know how they work things, and your common sense, if the camera's not facing you, you don't have to act. So... like, anytime they'd set us up and I'd see the camera wasn't there, I'm like, "I'm out of here," and I'd like, take off. And my mom and my brother are, like, taking it so serious. I'm like, "You're going to get in trouble." And meanwhile, I'm, like, you know, chatting it up with the director's son and hanging out in the actor's tent. And, like, I'm just waltzing around, hanging out with people. Like, Adam Sandler hit me with a off-mobile.
Well, come on, it's The Rock. Come on, I'm sitting there in Chicago, and I'm like, oh, baby, I need a shower. Because I'm sitting there going, because I love The Rock. I love, like, Vin Diesel, and, you know, I swear to God, the only guy, I don't know if you know him, but I think I would pass out. I think I would pass out as Michael J. White. He's this martial artist. He's a big dude. And
oh, yeah, blood and bone. Yeah, he's really good.
And I'm like, "Oh, baby." And I was like, "Just do not. If I ever work on set with Michael J. White, if he takes off his shirt, I'm going to pass out." And it's like, I don't know how to respect the actors, but he's a very big, muscular guy. He's very sweet, and he's very humble, but he's an experienced martial artist. He's a champion, right? And there he is. He can fly like Tony Jaa, and he's working on set with Tony Jaa now. And I'm sitting there going, he's the only guy in the whole entire world, in the whole acting world. If Michael J. White takes his shirt off, it would take me all my focusing to focus on any lines or anything. I would be like, oh, I'd be sweating. I'd be carrying a towel. I'd be like, oh, my hormones. And I'm like, you have to focus, and I'll try to be respectful, but forget it. I think I would pass out, and you guys would have to call 911. I mean, working on the set, I know, and you're not supposed to bother the actors, but come on. This, for me, you know, I don't know. Who would do something like that? If you were to work with a woman, who do you think, I know you have to be all respectful and stuff, who would you almost pass out? I mean, maybe it's different for guys, but if you
I can shut it off, but I mean, I probably have to say right now, Penelope Cruz, she's probably one of my tops, but I really don't have that thing, that wow factor when it comes to meeting people. Like, I don't know what it is, I just see people. So, like, I think that's why half the people on the sets are just like, yeah, come over here. You know, you're not going to freak out when you meet somebody, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. Like, I just have a way.
I think it's because, you know what, it's like, I love muscles, and it's like, you know, I'm a woman, and it's like, I think it's a healthy thing when a woman loves muscles, because everybody's like, you must be so self-centered because you're a woman, and blah, 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 and you like these six-packs and
stuff. Oh, blah, blah, blah. You guys are the same.
I mean, come on now. It's like, I'm not looking at his package. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm not staring at between his legs. I mean, I'm looking at his eyes and his chest. I mean, it's okay for a man to like a woman's breast, right? So why can't a woman myself like a man's chest? It's the same thing.
Well, actually, women get a little touchy-feely. I mean, being a bouncer and then doing shows, like as a bouncer, women feel like they can do whatever they want to you. It's almost like those stripper rules, and it's kind of messed up. Like, I've had women grab my package and, like, you know, like groping me and stuff, and I'm like, I'm working. I'm like, you gotta like lady, go that way.
No, I respect guys. I mean, I'm not gonna go up and do something because I was never into the male stripper things. I think it's the fact too, where it's if someone for me, because I've always worked around gyms and stuff like that, and like you know, in the stunt business and stuff, people have to work out, so I have this. I'm trying to get back into getting my six-pack and my eight-pack. I lost all the weight and everything, and I'm working on high because, you know, as an older woman, when you reach a certain age, if you're, like, 29 or if you're over your 30s, it's like an older woman, it seems like they don't seem to count anymore. So I'm trying to find, you know, very positive things. And I'm going, you know what? It's like women in general, whether they're skinny, overweight, or athletic, they're always condemned for whatever they are. You know what I'm saying? It's like it seems like they have to be this certain size to be accepted in society. And it's like I've been trying to go to fights, right? I don't know what women are you are into, right? But for myself, because I'm an older woman, I like six-packs, and I want to get a six-pack and get a little bit toned. And I thought of all these positive places, right, and saying because people saying keep going to the positive places, and I'm trying to find women like myself, and I cannot share. I have to copy and paste. Women with six packs and guys because of the horrible comments. And these are people, they don't use steroids. I'm not using steroids. I'm not taking any shortcuts. I'm working out. I lost the weight.
Right.
No lipo, no Botox, no nothing. I'm working out hardcore like Rocky, you know? And it's like you try to be positive, and it's like what is so wrong with women over the age of 40 getting into shape? And I've seen mothers that have children that are getting into shape, and I was like, these are beautiful women.
Well, right on that subject, like, it's like, you can't do it until you want it, and, like, my girl, Patricia, like, before, she would be, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. I was like, you can if you want it, you know, like, that's it. You're telling yourself you can't, you can't. Now she's in the best shape of her life, and, you know, she took it upon herself, she's eating right, kicking butt, and she looks back the best she's ever had, and, you know, three kids, and she's going to, you know, have her 40th soon. So it's anybody can do it. You just have to want it. You know, like I would, and another thing is body type. People never are happy with what they have until they see it in perspective years later. Like in 2008, 2009, I was in the best shape of my life. I was like 193, ripped, six-pack, like, you know, maxing out everything. And I still wasn't happy with my body. Like I was content, but I wasn't like 100% happy. You know, now I'm like trying to get back to that goal, and it's like, whoa, like what the hell was I thinking?
It's like, you know, I think we're, you know what, well, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks, but it's like now that I lost the weight, because what had happened is, you know, I couldn't get surgery. People would tell me I went to do something stupid, and I didn't listen to people, to their advice, so I injured myself really badly. I tore my ACL on the left side, so I didn't have money to get surgery for the first 3 days. I was in bed for 3 days, and I was watching the Dragon, the Bruce Lee story for 3 days straight because I was crippled. I couldn't get out of bed. So I had my leg wrapped up for a year, and I couldn't walk right. And then I started putting on all the weight, and I was so unhappy. I says, you know what, I'm going to go through, you know, overcoming this. So finally, within the last 2.5 months, I went on a very rigorous, strict diet, but I'm eating all the time, though. It's all food. So now it's about getting toning and tightening. And I didn't do this by, you know, getting lipo or Botox or nothing, no stomach operation. I did it myself. And it's not like,
well, none of that works. I mean, it's a temporary fix. It's a Band-Aid for the bigger problem, which is your eyes and your mouth. Like, the bottom line is people, you know, if you don't control what's going into your body, you're never going to be in the shape you want to be. It's just not going to happen,
yeah.
You know, unless you're one of those freaks that everybody hates that, like,
yeah,
can eat whatever they want.
Yeah, well, I guess it's like, it's like as you get older. I mean, in my 20s, I was like, I don't think I took care of myself, but I was very thin. I was like 5'8" and I was 80 pounds. I was always very thin. Now it's like I'm 5'8", and it's like I don't want to look like a little boy. Like, guys have told me, I'm 43 years old. What the heck do I want to look like a 12-year-old little boy? I'm 5'8". You know, my butt size is 38C. I don't want to look like they're saying, oh, we prefer, this was one of my exes saying, he, like, preferred a girl with a flat stomach. And here I am looking, it's like, now it's like, it's not me, but it's that these guys are not perfect, and they have a little bit round bellies. And it's like, here I am, I go, you know what? I got to do what I do for myself. And if guys don't like me for what I am, I'm not going to change myself. And that's, you know, advice I give to you, nephew, is like, you do what's good for you. And if you're happy with it and you're healthy, you might, I mean, if you're a little bit overweight, you know, so be it. But
well, I put on about 25 pounds for bouncing because it's dangerous to walk around at 190 bouncing. It's just, it's too light. So you want to have a little more weight on you because 90%, if you were allowed to strike as a bouncer where, like, you know, you work in an environment where, like, yeah, green light and if someone comes at you, you can strike, then 193 isn't bad. But when you have to grapple people and, you know, a lot of times there's no weight classes in the street, you better have some girth to you or you're going to get tossed around like a rag.
Well, why don't you learn about the one finger punch and stuff like that? I don't know about this because no.
Well, in the club world, there's this thing called liability, and they don't want to get sued. So basically,
someone has the gun or something like that, and you can easily you don't have to kill someone because I actually in a martial arts school, I go, I really want to see this Bruce Lee thing done, and I want to have it done on me. People are like, you are crazy, because I used to ask the guys in the dojo, pick me up and throw me. And people are like, what? So they used to throw me around all the time. Of course, it was all, like, you know, matted in the dojo. And I go, I want to see how it feels, you know, about being punched with two fingers. And he's just like, okay. So I said, I really want to know. So he hit me somewhere, but it was just a little tap, and I fell down. I was like, oh, my God, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, do it again. Like, no, because I was like, I want to see. It's pressure points. And it's like, seriously?
Oh, pressure points work. I mean, there's
all crazy stuff. But, you know, another thing, too, is never judge a person by the size because, you know, you're talking about someone who's a little bit overweight. You got to take a look at Jackie Chan's little brother, Sammo. Very big guy, but he can move. He was always the bigger brother. He actually went to fight, like, Donnie Yen. He's up on a table on wires doing fights. And, like, this was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I saw that movie. It was pretty cool.
You know, and he's like, he's a big dude. And it's like, I think it's like, too, you can be a little bit overweight, but you could be healthy in your heart. As long as your major, your joints, you know, your heart, your lungs, your mind, and you can be a little bit overweight, and it's like, it's kind of hard to express it without sounding so critical because it's a very sensitive subject when someone's overweight, and you try to be very courteous, and I try to explain why it's important to work out without offending someone.
Well, my thing is, like, I'm solid, like, you know, like, it wasn't like I'm just, you know, stacking on cheeseburger weight. You know, like, I was constantly hitting weights and maintaining that weight because I knew it was a comfortable weight to move in and yet not feel winded. Because, you know, a lot of, you're grappling people, so you kind of want to use your weight against them. And, you know, basically it happens a lot. So, you, and again, you can't just cock back and punch the first guy that wises off to you. You know, you have to kind of de-escalate the situation. So a lot of times, you know, you're holding a drunk girl in one arm and, you know, pushing back the other idiot with another while your friend's grabbing someone else, and it's crazy.
Yeah, that's kind of like, you know, you just little do little taps and you knock people down and no one gets hurt. That's what bouncers really should know, all
right. The
little tiny things. It's not a liability. You won't get hurt. It's just you're hitting the nerve. And if you're someone that is a black belt or something like that, and you don't know how to do that, and you can actually, like, I try to explain to him, and you saw an Ip Man, like, the guns, when he was, like, the police officer was in front of him, and he was holding a gun in front of Ip Man, played by Donnie Yen, and he actually disarmed the gun so fast with his fingers, it knocked the little, like, chamber out of the gun, and he disarmed the gun, and the policeman stood there, and I says, yeah, you can disarm some guns, and it's like, people don't understand that, and I says, well, if I had a gun, I can shoot a martial artist, and it's like, well, the idea is to not have to get that close to someone that has a gun so you can get away with being shot. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like,
right.
You know, there's things to do, and you can design.
Well, rule number one is against the martial artist, you cut off their distance. You know, anytime if we were the bouncers and we thought a guy was a martial artist, I was like, watch his feet and cut off his distance instantly. Like, you don't do that with an MMA fighter because they're more in tune with grappling and hitting the floor, so... You know, with a grappler, you want to keep your distance and let them lunge at you first. So, it, you know, telltale signs, like after working the door for so long, like, you know, guy's got a broken nose, a cauliflower ear, you're like, yeah, you kind of want to watch this guy.
Yeah. And
keep him in a good mood.
I always tell women, you know, about self-defense, like if there's other things too, and people think I'm crazy, like if someone grabs you from, like, behind, right, like woman stuff, that's like anything to survive. if a person's thumb is good enough to you, you bite his thumb off. Like, all these crazy things I learned, and people are like, Shelly, you're sadistic.
Well, my uncle was an MP in Vietnam, and the first thing he taught us, where he's like, if someone ever tries to kidnap you, because he's this big Norwegian guy from Somerville, he's like, if someone ever tries to kidnap you, you just grab their freaking ear and you rip it off. He's like, it only takes 3 pounds.
Yeah, I mean,
I was like, thanks, Don.
Like, there's so many things. Like, you could break a nose. Like, you know, you slam someone's nose so hard that bridge in the nose can go into their brain and everything like that. Like, all these things.
Well, see, that's all. A lot of that's Krav Maga, like, you know, just straight street fighting, like, no rules, no holds bars. And like I said, there's difference. Like, obviously, if someone's a repeat patron and they're hammered and they're swinging and being dumb, you kind of want to get them in a position where, like, you kind of get them in a hole where they can't get out of it and they finally calm down. You know, if someone's a threat and they really swing at me and he's bigger than me, all bets are off. I'm taking him down and I'm going to choke him out till, you know, he's incapacitated. Because, you know, that's that, but...
Yeah, so we're like talking about so much and fighting. We got probably about maybe a few minutes left. Is there any? I gotta have you back on the show. I can't believe it's like almost over with. Can you give some feedback on your websites, like where you can find?
You can go to. You can Google Kahdiak, KAHDIAK, and that'll pop up like probably 20 different links to my music, my YouTube page. Kahdiak at Reverb Nation, Kahdiak at SoundCloud, Kahdiak at SoundClick. and basically I have a ton of interviews and stuff that have gone viral. And I'm going to be on the Scotty Mac show probably next week, so I'll send you the link to that. And yeah, I'm shooting a commercial this weekend, so hopefully that goes good. Paying gigs are always good.
Good. Oh, just to let you know, I'm making a couple months. I'm going to make a trip down to Philly. I'm going to go visit
Sweetness.
Charlie. So
be careful with those cheesesteaks. They are lethal. I went down to visit my brother, and I put on about 6 pounds in a week.
I'm going to use my cheat day, and I guess what I'm going to be doing, I'm going to be a fool running up those steps where Rocky was, the movie.
Oh, we all did it. We so did it.
I can't wait. I'm so super pyped. And, you know,
but if you do that, that's actually at the Philadelphia Museum. I recommend highly to go inside. That museum is awesome. The tons of historical paintings and stuff from the Revolutionary era and, like, a lot of cool stuff in there. So... definitely check it out.
I'm going to definitely check it out. And I got to have you back on the show again. I cannot believe the show is over with. I'm just, like, so psyched. Thank you so much for being on the
show. You. Thank you always, Shelly. Like, inspiration out there doing it.
Hey, thank you. And I look forward to maybe, you know, have you write me some sort of Ninja Samurai song or something, some what stuff.
Definitely. Because, matter of fact, I'm going to be talking to my studio people this weekend, because I actually branched and I'm doing commercials too, so that's who I'm filming for. So we're going to go and I probably discuss doing something like that for your project.
Yeah, well,
so that'd definitely be good.
I probably can get people to get to blow some stuff up on if you want to do a music video, I can discuss some stuff, but it's like about the plot. And I'm like, I want to ride an ATV through fire. And I think I can get people to...
who doesn't?
Like, yeah, no kidding.
Who doesn't want to do that?
I have these ideas, and I have people that are actually licensed people that can, like, blow some stuff up, like a licensed. And I have all these...
Well, that's cool, because I have awesome photography, Lim Photography out of Little Mass. They're awesome. LIM Photography out of Little Mass. So on my page, you can find the link. And they also do music videos, too. So, I mean, if we could get together and do something, that'd be awesome.
Well, yeah, let's get together and make a music video and have some ninjas and samurais in the music video, have all sorts of crazy stuff. We'll collaborate.
That sounds like the best video ever. Throw some zombies in there. That would be so clutch.
But we can have ninjas. We can have samurais. We can have zombies. We can have pirates. We can have everything.
That sounds like a Capital One commercial gone Kahdiak.
Yeah, what's in your wallet? Kahdiak. Well, thank you, Kahdiak, for being on my show. And I'll have
you. All right, so thank you as always.
Time. All right, have a good night.
You rock, definitely. Good night,
right,
you too.
Bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that looks like another show. And do not forget, this Sunday on Ninja Sunday, once again, one of my first stuntmen from Hollywood is once again on my show, Johnny Krang, who fought Jet Li, and he's actually interviewed Jackie Chan, is actually going to be on my show on Sunday. So, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. And I'm actually going to end the show with the song The Fighter that I was talking about with. And thank you again once all, and God bless.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands tape, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I'm just bracing, I take in the face of adversity. Facing this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb, my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose.
I'm a warrior kid, I said,
I don't think they're ready.